Good morning, my brothers and sisters. The reading today is Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and your right hand you will save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Elaine. Thank you. Morning, church family. How are you this morning? It's great to be able to stand here and speak to you this morning on this amazing Psalm of David, a man after God's own heart, and to walk and journey with you through this psalm. But first, let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks that here at Christ Church of St. Andrews, we love to study and walk through your word. And I pray this morning that I won't get in your way, that your goodness and your love that you have for us. And Father, in this church this morning, we don't just want information, we want transformation. Bless our time together this morning. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for playing. So, what were you thankful for this morning when you woke? Were you thankful for your family, for your partner, for your children, for your grandchildren? What were you thankful for? Myself, for getting up this morning to come to the 9 o'clock. I was thankful that the alarm went off in time. Absolutely. But this morning, were you thankful that you were saved? That God blessed your life and follows and pursues you? Well, that's handy if you did, because that is exactly what David is telling us here this morning. As we look at David's expression of thankfulness in worship in this psalm. But first we need to just have a little look at the context of David's thankfulness. Now, it's widely believed that David was reflecting on Nathan's prophecy as he reflected and looks back on his life, and actually looking back to see how God had his hand in his life. Now, we all know, don't we, that David had a few wobbles here and there, maybe some big wobbles in the stories, but God reveals himself through Nathan. Nathan was one of the prophets in the Old Testament, and we see him and read about him in the book of Samuel during David's reign. He was a court prophet and counseled the king as the God spoke through Nathan to David. Now Nathan is probably best remembered for his dramatic speech to David, asking him to and confronting him about his adultery with Bathsheba. But David reflects on Nathan's prophecy that was in 2 Samuel, chapter 7. I'm not going to read it all, but here's a couple of little snippets just to give the flavour of why David is so thankful. Starting in verse 8. "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over all of Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I've cut you off from your enemies. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise you up and raise up your offsprings to succeed you. Your own flesh and blood will establish the kingdom." He is one who will build your house in my name and will establish the throne of kingdom forever, of his kingdom forever. Your house, your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. As David's reflecting on this prophecy with a true expression of worship and thankfulness, and we see that right at the start in verses 1 and 2. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart before the gods, and I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name with unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your solemn decree that surpasses your fame." We see here David's outpouring of his heart and calling out to the Lord and giving thanks. Using this as a worship opportunity to be thankful that he is connected to God. David is thankful about what God has done in his life. And you know, he doesn't care who's present. He's going to sing God's praises. He's going to tell everyone. As I was reflecting myself on David's reflecting, it reminded me of a time, a church warden's meeting, actually, and we were sitting in my good friend Martin's garden in the sunshine, reminiscing of our journeys with God. Mine from a muddy field in Shepton Mallet, and Martin's from a glorious journey to Kilimanjaro. His perhaps more glamorous than mine, but actually, that's where God found us, or where we found God. And I think it's true for us both that we had to go out of our normal before we noticed him. And here's the first thing that challenged me in this psalm. Now, I've no right here to stand here and challenge you this morning, but this is how it challenged me. And I think the first question is, what does it look like to truly worship God? To truly worship God. Now, I've spoken to a few of you here over the last sort of 6 to 8 months about my journey through asking this question for myself and my reflection as David is, as I looked back on my life about truly worshipping God. And actually, don't you love God's sense of humour? Darren, you've been thinking about this for 6 to 8 months. Now I want you to go and preach on it. which is just the way that it goes. Now, as David said again in verse 1, I will praise you with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praise before the gods. Which made me think, what other gods are there? Actually, the small g gods, the false gods. Perhaps before all the false gods, he will sing. He will tell of God's work in his life. Even tell the false gods. So, whatever your small g false gods are, whether they're addictions, worry, envy, I think perhaps that the places that you go to, that perhaps you shouldn't, things that don't really care about you, be like David. Before the gods, he will sing the praises and worship the Lord's holy name. So worshipping in front of your God, your small g God, is not something that is done perhaps here on a Sunday. It's about declaring God's praises all the time. Whenever you're confronted, true worship is boldly proclaiming your experiences of God in your life. Something that I've realized as part of my reflections of what true worship is that it doesn't take courage to stand here and to share God's praises and sing in the safety of these walls. It's not easy to sing God's praises all the time. Now, I know some of you have been studying a book, and Denise and a few of you are going to come up and share what it means to share outside of the safety of these walls. But friends, the real challenge is to be courageous and sing God's praises to your friends, to your neighbours, to your family, and maybe even some strangers as well. Verse 4, may all the kings of the earth praise you. Lord, when they hear what you have decreed, may they sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Worship is the outpouring of David's heart, calling out to the Lord. David's using worship as an opportunity to be thankful and connecting with God. How can the kings of the earth praise the Lord if they don't hear it? If we don't sing out the ways of the Lord? God doesn't want to meet us in a convincing talk or an amazing worship song. He wants to meet us here in our hearts. He wants to get us to know us personally. So when we go through those bumps and those difficulties, those problems, and those things that worry us, he wants us to turn to the throne that's in our hearts, where God sits, so we can sing the ways of the Lord. Verse 7. Though I walk through the midst of the troubles, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand and anger of my foes. With your right hand you save. So we see in many of David's psalms that he humbles himself before the Lord, giving God the credit for the victories and the strategies. David has a CV to brag about, to show off his many accomplishments. Let's just take a quick highlight of some of them. Some of those first lines in his CV. Conquering Jerusalem, returning the nation of Israel to Jerusalem, moving the Ark of the Covenant and the Spirit of God to Jerusalem, uniting the north and the south into one kingdom, and not forgetting, perhaps the one that's in bold and underlined, chosen by God. This is a CV that will make anyone proud to boast about. But what we see is David recognising that he falls short and humbling himself before God. We see in this psalm, he writes, I praise you, I bow down, your unfailing love. I called, you answered, singing the ways of the Lord. You preserved my life. David recognises that after the powerful kings and their proud enemies have disappeared into rubble, who is left standing but the meek and the lowly? For all the powers on earth, it is the mighty sovereign Lord who sits high over all. David, a king, a mighty warrior, convinced that God will deliver him out of his troubles. He may feel very small in respect to the power of his enemy, but he feels extremely small in respect of God. But that's all right, because God rescues this little guy, this king, who cries out from his knees for salvation. David has no doubt, he is convinced that God will deliver him. And in this Psalm 138, he is convinced that God continues to work in his life. The Lord, verse 8, the Lord will vindicate me. Love, your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. As we come into land at the last, this last verse encourages, has all the encouragement that everyone needs. How many of us are concerned about our lives? If it is wasted, or we're wasting our time? Who can guarantee that our lives, our life's work, will amount to anything in the long run? If we are living a life of chance, or thinking that the universe will sort it out in the end, or saying, surely luck will be on my side, or if you're relying on other people to make your life worth living, it surely will never happen. Only God can endure the work that he has begun in us, that it will be completed on the day that the Lord returns. Nobody but God can make a life worth living. Only God can redeem lives and turn them into something of eternal value. Verse 8, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. So the question is, as we close, what does this psalm ask us to do? What does this psalm challenge us to ask ourselves about how we really, truly worship God? Now, there's only one way to worship God, and that's with your whole heart. Half-hearted praise will never do. This wholehearted praise will only come from a life devoted to God. Talking about God, using your gifts for God, and giving thanks for people that have been radically saved. So this morning, if you're here as a non-Christian, as a non-believer, you have an amazing opportunity, as nearly everyone in this room is saved and has been saved by the radically saved. And saved by the love and the blood of Jesus. So you're able to grab any one of us and say, what's your story? Because we've all got one. Some of us more glamorous, like young Martin at the back from Kilimanjaro, or from me from a muddy field. But nevertheless, we've all been saved. So friends, let your story be told this week. A changed life, changing another, as an expression of worship and thankfulness, as David does here. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, and we ask that you would bless us and protect us as we go out from the safety of this place to worship you and tell amazing stories of your love. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. And we are going to sing a great hymn, not one that I would have chosen, mind you, but actually, it basically says what I want it to say. Go forth and tell, O church. Go forth and tell of God's love. Go forth and share God's gifts. Go forth and rise, church.